I want to talk about with you as kind of our continuing theme here during Christmas, during Advent, which is awesome, to talk about our mental health. And so we've been talking about this for the last two Sundays. This morning is the third message, so it brings a recap or kind of a final thought here to this idea of our mental health. And so I want to just talk about the last couple services in case you weren't here, because not everybody was able to make it to all three of them. The first one, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Paul and Silas, while they were in prison in chains, that they were still able to focus on God and still able to pray and to worship. When they're in their darkest, deepest dungeon, maybe in our darkest, deepest thoughts, we're still able to pray and to worship. We can still lift up the name of Jesus. Last week, we talked about, in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Well, we would say, well, hey, I live in the New Testament. I'm under grace. I don't need to follow the Ten Commandments. That's Old Testament. And then we would say, well, where are the Ten Commandments today? Like, I'm under grace. I'm in the New Testament. Where are the Ten Commandments? And we would find in Scripture here, in Jeremiah, speaking prophetically of where the Ten Commandments ended up. So Jeremiah 31:33 says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put the law in their minds and write them on their hearts." Whoa! So the Ten Commandments are in here. We don't follow some rules. God actually lives inside of us, and God's the one that makes the rules, and so we want to follow them. Part of the Ten Commandments is taking a Sabbath rest. It's a commandment. God doesn't need us to take a Sabbath rest. Yesterday, you didn't take a Sabbath rest because you were shoveling. We all know that. You have to take a different day to Sabbath rest. But when we're taking a Sabbath rest, just like when we pray and we sing to God, God's not like, oh, look at that. You know, they're taking communion. They're taking the day off. They're worshiping. God's not like all excited in the sense of like, if they didn't do that, I wouldn't. God couldn't be complete or fulfilled or excited. God's already complete. God is everything. God gives us things for us to help us with our mental health, like praying to him. Now, I'm not just talking about rattling off some prayer lists. Now, we should do that. I pray for my unsaved family, for my unsaved friends. You should do that. I agree with that every day. But then God in prayer is like, it's communication with that loving Heavenly Father. I want to talk to God. Amen. And I want to stop talking and I want to listen to God. And because I'm in a relationship with God, I love him so much, he saved me, I want to worship God. Worship in the sense of with our mouths. Worship in music. We want to worship Jesus. And to follow God and his principles, I want to take a rest because God said, taking a rest is good for our souls. I want to receive that with open arms. And so that's kind of just a bit of an overarching recap of the last couple Sundays. But for today, let's open up our Bible. So we're going to go to the New Testament. And you can just hang out there. We're going to be there most of the time today. So we're going to go to the very first book of the New Testament. We're going to go to Matthew. We'll go to Mark. Then we'll go to Luke. And then we'll end up in John. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8 first. Not Malachi. Wrong one. Here we go. Matthew. Here we go. Yep. So in Matthew 8, there is the subheading under verse 23. It says, "The calming of the storm." What does mine say exactly? Jesus calms the storm. Yes. And so in this event, which we will read in just a moment, just an overarching understanding of what that means in 2 seconds, this event demonstrates Jesus' divine authority, that he can speak to the wind and the waves and they will obey him. We're about to read that. By the calming of a violent storm, while the disciples were with him in the boat, were showcasing his power and authority even over creation and even over nature. This lesson teaches us that we can trust and we can have faith in God in the midst of the most turbulent, crazy part, most mental health challenges that we face. We can trust God in the chaos. God is a miraculous God and he does wonderful things. So let's read it. And then I want to kind of look at an angle we don't usually look at. We know the story. It's a Sunday school story. We've seen a little video, a little VeggieTales, a little what's in the Bible. We all understand that. We've read the book. But I want to just shed a little bit of light here. So verse 23. When he got into the boat with his disciples, and his disciples followed him, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Like, I've been out fishing, you know, out of Rupert. Like, when waves are coming over the boat, it is getting intense. But Jesus was chilling. He was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown. We're going to die." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. It was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Whoa, man, that's powerful, eh? Jesus is, his mental health is fine. He's sleeping. The disciples are wigging out. They think they're going to die. And so I want to think about it like this. Okay, there's so many angles. When Jesus said, "Don't be afraid," honestly, the disciples, we got to be in the story, get in there, be in the disciples' heads and their minds. What are they actually afraid of? Are they afraid of the storm? I think they could be. Are they afraid that they might die? That could be a result of this. I'm sure they've heard stories all around. When the seas get crazy, some people, the boats don't make it home, and they don't make it home. They could be afraid of dying. Were they afraid that they were now out of control? They had lost control of the boat. They had lost control of their idea of where the boat was headed. They had a plan, and they had a direction, and it wasn't going the way that they thought. Is that a possibility that the disciples could be thinking that way? See, I think it's one of the major factors that when things aren't going our way in life, we all of a sudden think and we panic and we think, where's God in this? And we freak out. And we lose control. And Jesus says, you know, I am the way. I will get through this difficult time with you. I'm sure along the way the disciples were thinking as you're in the boat, you know, some disciples would be like this. I'm not going to start naming names, but we can imagine, you can imagine with me. Some disciples, as soon as the waves started picking up, "Wake up, Jesus! We got to get Jesus up. Jesus is going to fix the problem." Some of the disciples are like, "He's been ministering all day. Let Jesus rest. Look, he's sleeping like a little baby. Don't wake him up. What are we doing here? Like, chill out." You know, there's this probably conversation going on like, okay, well, when the waves get to whatever height, then we'll get Jesus, right? And the other disciples are like, maybe, but let's just kind of be open to see what happens here. But at some point, it is completely out of control, and all the disciples are wigging out. And I'm sure the first ones are like, "I told you, mate. Like, why didn't we wake him up early? Now we're going to die." Every one of them is scared. And so I don't know about your mental health. For some of us, we're like, I can face a lot in life. You've got thick skin. You've been through a lot. And you're thinking, I don't need to cry out to Jesus just yet, because I can get through this. I can handle this. Some of us have thin skin. And it just like, and oh, man, we're really in trouble. We're really in a lot of pain and a lot of fear. So you can decide what disciple you want to be there. But at some point, it's completely out of control. They're anxious. They've gone through some difficult times. And they panic. And I don't know what it would take to get you to be an anxious and to panic and to cry out to God. But whatever it is, we should be coming to him sooner than that. We shouldn't let it get so chaotic that now we're like, we got to wake Jesus. Like, Jesus, don't you see what I'm going through? I have to wake you up. As if he didn't know you were going through it anyways. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, do we do that alone? And then when it gets so bad, then we finally invite Jesus into the conversation. Like, God, if you don't show up now, I'm going to die. And Jesus is saying, what are you afraid of? Just see how calm Jesus is. Like, really, what are you afraid of? Like, I am the King of Kings. I hold the universe in my hands. And you're concerned or worried about what you're going through, that it might kill you? Like, you are in right relationship with me. Your eternal destination is held in my hands. What are you afraid of? Whoa, isn't that just a fun thought to be thinking about? As the disciples, like, they are with Jesus. Jesus, like, they're looking at Jesus. They're in relationship with him, and they're still afraid. Is Jesus trying to teach us something through this kind of a story? I really hope you'll say amen to that. Now, in this magazine that just came out, which is really cool, and I just thought, wow, Focus on the Family magazine, a little every other month kind of magazine. I thought, this is going to be great, and all positive stuff to talk about. And right on the front cover, like, when they publish these magazines, they have to make it so that it will sell. So whatever they're saying must be truthful, otherwise it would never sell. Nobody would ever read it. So do you know on the front cover it says, unwrapping, this would be good for Christmas, a stress-free Christmas. Stress-free Christmas. Like, why are we talking about that? Isn't Christmas stress-free on its own? No. Usually we get families together and we set the shovel snow all day and the eggnog goes rotten and whatever, the bird isn't cooked. And like, I don't know what stressful things you face at Christmas time, but like, so that means it must be stress at Christmas time for us. When we take time off and we slow down and we get together with family, there must be some truth to that. And that kind of concerns me, doesn't it? Like, we love Jesus. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas time. That should be the most exciting time for us. We get to lift up the name of Jesus. Let me just read one little portion of it to you. Filled with joy, I looked around the room at my loved ones, and tears ran down my face as the family had gathered, relatives and aunts and uncles. However, this time it was because I was loving Christmas with my family, not because of the day or a custom, but because Jesus and the beauty of our togetherness with Jesus and with the family is worth celebrating. That shouldn't bring stress and worry on us. I'm thinking, wow, isn't that just a wonderful thought for Christmas? What are we doing? Well, why did we get a couple weeks off? Or well, let's be honest, a couple days, maybe 24 hours or like whatever. Like, what is the purpose of that? Why are we got these lights up here? Why do we, you know, put the tree up? You know, because of Jesus. And if our focus is on Jesus, like the disciples had taken their focus off Jesus, and they started looking at their life, and they started looking at the things that were going on, and they panicked. But if we got our eyes on Jesus, I think our mental health and the worry and the stress that this world has to offer will begin to diminish. Because God is so loving. He's so wonderful. We want to follow him. We want to serve him. Okay, so that's out of the book of Matthew. So let's just move forward, because in three of the Gospels, we can find the same story, but it's all seen through different lenses, different eyes, same story. So Mark chapter 4, so same story. Mark wanted to tell it in his own words, and so let's just read it, because there's something else here that Matthew didn't pick up on that I want us to pick up on. Let's see if we can see it here together. So Mark chapter 4, verse 36. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. I just love that terminology. We just grabbed Jesus just as Jesus was, and we put him in a boat. You know, like why does it say it like that? It's just Mark's just creativity. Watch what it says here. There were also other boats with him. So that means when the storm got psycho, other people in other boats were around. Just pause on that thought. We'll come back to it in a second. 37, a furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it nearly swamped them. Jesus was in the stern, in the rear, sleeping on a cushion. Now, you know, Matthew didn't pick up on that. It was just Jesus asleep in the boat. Mark's like, no, at the back, on a cushion, you know, get all comfortable. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it completely was calm. He said to his disciples, "Why?" Same terminology. "Why are you so afraid?" And he adds, "Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." There's a point here that you saw that Mark picked up on, is that there was other boats. Now, were the other boats honestly in the storm and the swell? Like, I would probably have to assume so, unless there was some other indication. And when Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, did he just rebuke it in their little kind of circle? It was just like this little sweet spot there in the lake where it was just calm. There's nothing. Or did he rebuke all the wind and all the waves on the whole lake? So the other boats were like, whoa. Like what just happened? Like, it was going, the snow was going sideways. It was growing up from the ground, and all of a sudden it just disappeared, right? Like, Jesus just rebuked it all. And those boats, I'm sure, were wondering, like, I'd never seen anything like that before on the ocean. Like, you know, I've been in some swales, and I felt ocean sickness, but, like, I mean, I saw a guy got eaten by a whale one time. Like, that was really messed up. Like, I know that story, but, like, what just happened? So I'm sure the boats went back to shore later on and were probably talking about each other, and they realize and they hear about this guy, Jesus, and he's the one that calmed the storm. I think as we follow Jesus, I really believe this with all of my heart, that as Christians, as Christianity follows Jesus, it actually influences and impacts and has a tremendous change on other people as well. Isn't that just a deep thought? As the disciples are so worried about themselves and their own life and their own death situation, and they look at Jesus, and Jesus calms not only their storm, he calms other storms. Like, that's the kind of God I want to serve. A God that has that kind of authority. Wow, man, isn't that exciting news? So yeah, as we follow Jesus, we get to see his miraculous work. Now, in Mark, it's just, it's laid out so beautifully. I want to look at just a couple other things because, like, was this the first time the disciples were in the boat? You know, if you've been in a boat, in a canoe, and all of a sudden there's like a little bit of a wave, you're kind of, whoa, whoa, or you got a kid in the boat like, dude, sit down. We're gonna tipsy on this thing. So was it their first time in the boat? And it was a little storm, but they were a little bit scared because they were young, a lot of them. So there was just like, it wasn't really waves. It was just like these little tiny waves hitting the boat. Oh, you know, was it like that? You know, it absolutely wasn't because they were in the boat a lot of times. I'm going to jump around in Mark. You can flip with me if you want. But just in the first couple chapters, I want to look at a few times that they were in the boats. So Mark 3:9, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding around him. We know that he went out in a boat so that when he spoke, more people could hear. Mark 4:1, and again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat, sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore side, along the shore, so he could again speak to them. You know, the disciples, you know, getting boats, you know, for Jesus, that was kind of common for them. Mark 5:2, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Great story in there. We won't have time to unpack that. Mark 5:21, when Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. So again, they're in the boat. Mark 6:32, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Mark 6:45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him while he dismissed the crowd. Uh-oh, they're in the boat without Jesus this time. And so we can see clearly here, a lot of boat action. These guys were not, it wasn't new to them to be in a boat. They knew how to handle boats. You know, some of them we know were fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat on the lake. You know, it wasn't the first time they kind of ran into a storm. So now Jesus is not in the boat with them. And if we look here, so we're in Mark 6, and we're in the story of 45, and the subheading would say, Jesus doesn't need a flipping boat because he walks on water. He has control over the boat. He has control over the wind and the waves. He has control over the water. He just walk on it. I don't even need a boat. Man, I'm just going to walk across this lake. You know, that's the kind of God that we serve. He's so far removed from our concerns. He's just so far above that. I know he's just trying to like let us in. Like, I'll ride in the boat today with you guys. My legs are a bit tired. A lot of ministry. Today I don't need the boat. I'm just going to walk on my own here. As a walker. Oh, there's water. I didn't even notice I was on the water. Whoops, I thought I was on a trail here. Oh, I just happened to be walking on this lake here. So we see the disciples by themselves again without Jesus. And we know the story that he walks out to them, and when he gets in the boat, he calms the storm. But all of this falls in. So if we went back to Mark 4, where we were reading, Jesus calms a storm. Then we were to read in Mark 6:30, Jesus feeds 5,000. Then we read in Mark 6:45, which I just referred to, Jesus walks on water. Then we read in Mark 8, Jesus feeds 4,000. We didn't pick that up in the other Gospels. And then we read in Mark 8:14 to 21, do you still not understand the authority that I have? Like, I've done miraculous things. I've healed the blind. I've walked on water. I've spoken to wind and waves. Do you still not perceive what I'm doing? It says here in Mark 8:21, it says, he said to them, do you still not understand? And I thought, I am not a disciple. I'm not that old. But when they were there, they had witnessed and seen it firsthand, all these things. And they still didn't believe and still didn't understand. And they were still afraid. And so I'm not suggesting that that's good news for us. But the reality is sometimes God does miraculous things in our lives. And then the next mountain or the next thing that we face, we actually don't believe that he can get us through that because we begin to worry and get afraid and panic. Like, why would we do that? And I do that. I promise you, when I face something, I feel that. Like, God, this is really tough right now. I'm thinking, but look at the track record of my God in my own life and in here. He's been so faithful. And anytime they faced a difficulty, God was so far removed and above it, he just reminded them of how much of an authority that he has over that situation. He is in control. He's in complete control. So when our mental health starts worrying us, it's because we're looking at our own stuff. And we've got our eyes off of Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, the wind and the waves and the storm, they'll obey him and they'll become low and they won't be so impactful on us. I just really want to encourage you. It speaks to me just with deep truths. As we spiritually grow in God, I think that the mountains of our worries become less and less. I want to refer to a board in the sanctuary here. I'm sure some of you are probably scratch your head at it, and some of you are like excited about it. But I just want to speak into it just for a moment here. So over there by the Welcome Center, we've got this board, Anticipating 100. So what it is last, or this year, we're still in this year, so it was our 90th anniversary, and we're anticipating in the next 10 years that maybe, by God's grace, it'd be God's responsibility, not mine. I don't, you know, check box every year, like, hey, we did what we were supposed to do. Like you could have a check box with God anyways. But over the next 10 years, maybe 100 people get saved, 100 people get baptized, and 100 people will become members. Like, maybe that's possible. So I'm just a numbers guy. I apologize. It's just a business mind in me. There's a calculator upstairs. That would be 10 salvations, 10 baptisms, 10 members every year. Could we do that? I don't know. Let's just see what God did. So in salvations, we just put dates because we want to respect people's names. We want to, you know, keep them safe because at kids camp and teen camp, I just put it as one. Like, at kids week, there was 40 kids got saved. At teen camp, there was I don't even know, it was a lot, you know. But I just want to just equate to one salvation because I don't want to pump up the numbers. I don't want us to look let's keep it low, and then if God does more, we'll just, you know, that's cool. So we got to 9. Okay, great. That's just a number. Okay, so let's look at the next one, baptism. So almost all those kids were baptized at camp this year. But they were baptized. They asked mom and dad for permission. We asked for permission, so we were allowed to put their names up there. And then the last one is memberships. I don't know what happened to that one. Like, something went crazy. You know, we obviously almost got 2 years worth of memberships. Okay, so that's stats, statistics. But do you know what that represents? Those are real names. Those are real people that used to live in darkness and are now filled with the light of Jesus. And they have an eternal destination. That's not a board. That is somebody's soul. That is somebody who's going to heaven. That is somebody who is growing and working through their mental health and trying to get closer to Jesus. And we celebrate that board, not because of numbers. We celebrate it because people are growing in their faith. That's what it speaks about. Whoa, that is really exciting to get think through. So, okay, Matthew, Mark, let's get to Luke now. Let's jump in and read his story. So we're in Luke chapter 8. So same story. Jesus calms the storm. Again, through Luke's vision, now through his eyes. Verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. Great storm came down in the lake so that the boat began to get swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Listen to what Luke hears that Matthew and Mark wrote differently. Not, "Why are you afraid?" but, "Where's your faith?" Isn't that different? I know I can see the fear in your eyes, but where'd your faith go? I've been teaching you about my faith. He asked his disciples, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? Who is this man? Who is Jesus?" He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Why do we have little faith? Wow, isn't that just a wonderful statement that Luke makes there? I love speaking about just stories and just where my mind goes. And so as soon as I was reading that, I was envisioning Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump. And there's this big swale. It's a movie if you haven't seen it. So they're in a shrimp boat, and the boat's getting hit by swales. All the other boats sink, and he's up there on the mast. He's not like sleeping underneath. He's up on the mast, and I got to make sure I quote this right. He says, "You call this a storm, God? You'll never sink this boat." He's just like, he's yelling at the storm, and he's yelling at God because he's going through some difficulties in his life. Is that how we should respond to God? Can I be honest with you, though? You know, I agree with you. You shouldn't do that. But God would not be hurt or offended if you did that. If it's so bad that you just are like really frustrated and honestly angry and you're just like, God, I don't even understand. It makes no sense, God. You can get mad at God and God will not be mad at you. Be honest with God. Be transparent with your God. He loves you. Even if we come to him in gentleness and quietness, he loves you. Even if you come to him with frustration and you don't understand, he will still love you. Do that, but then listen to what he says. Because he wants to speak to you. You can be frustrated, but then he wants to give you an answer. So don't just end there. Just stop and listen. God will minister to you. He'll speak to you. If I could just share a little bit of my own story with you now. So Karen, thanks for pausing that slide there. We're gonna bring it up now. So the board has decided, Almy and I have been here for 7 years now, which is so sweet. And so we asked the board, we said, guys, is it okay if we just take a bit of a time out in January, just have, you know, a little bit of time, Almy and I together? And so I had requested, could we go to this thing called Focus on the Family? It's a Careth Retreat Center for Marriage. Now, I guarantee it will not look like that in January, but I couldn't find a winter picture of the place, and so that'll be all frozen lake. We'll be playing ice hockey. No, I should probably just be relaxing. But so the board has approved. You know, the 92 members of this church vote in the board members. They're wonderful people. They're full of wisdom. And so they've released Almy and I to go for a week and go to a marriage retreat center to enrich our marriage. Is our marriage in trouble? No. Our marriage is great. But it takes work. We've got to work at it. It's like our mental health. It's just like you can't just get saved. I accepted Jesus and then start being comfortable and coasting. It actually takes work. It takes work, not like once a year work or like once a week work on Sunday. It takes work every day you wake up and you have air in your lungs. Every day. There will be something that will come at you and try and disrupt you. You've got to turn to Jesus on a daily basis. And so I'm so grateful that Almy and I can go away. I really appreciate that. That's so sweet. And if I could say it like this in my own words, as I go through my own mental health, is that my teeth are very much out of alignment. And my eye teeth are like vampire teeth. And so when I'm chewing and I'm really hungry and I'm talking and I'm distracted, I actually, oh my, I will bite my lip. Because my mouth is so hungry, it starts biting itself and it just wants to eat itself. It's brutal. Then it swells up so much that every time I have to use salt water, like every time I have to eat, you know, like it's disgusting. But if I don't do that, it'll just get infected and it'll get more and more swollen so that it's just right in the way. So every time I chew, I bite it again. And so it just wakes me out. And so I have like scar tissue inside there. So it's already protruding into this area. And the dentists are like, we'll break your jaw and we'll realign your face. And then we'll put, you know, braces on you. And that might fix the problem. And I'm ready to take my Demerol drill set with a little bit of sandpaper and like just grind down the pointiness of it because it's driving me crazy. And I'm only 49. I'm not even halfway there yet. And it's really bothering me, but I should maybe deal with it one day. But we'll figure that out later. But in the midst of all that, I say that because every time I eat when that's happened, I'm like every bite, I'm barely opening my mouth. I'm being really, you know, don't bite, don't, you know. It's ridiculous how much it affects me. So much so that every day, every time I eat, 3 to 5 times a day, it's affecting me. What is affecting you like that? We're like every day you're thinking about it. Every day it's affecting you in some way. God doesn't want you to go through that. You're trying to carry it on your own. You're in your own boat and you're thinking, I can do this my own way. And the ways are just hammering at you. And would you just not wake Jesus up? He's already awakening. We don't have to wake him up. But turn to Jesus. As soon as you do that, those waves, that are wanting to drown you and kill you will turn into waves of grace, waves of mercy, and waves of love, and will bring healing to our bodies when we turn to him. I pray that we would do that as a church. Because when we don't do that, we all know what that looks like. Our emotions, like when my face is bothering, my kids are like, "You're not saying much at the dinner table, Dad." And I'm like, "I'm trying to focus and not biting my face off." And it affects us in so many ways we don't even notice sometimes. But if we would turn to God, God would set us free from that. I want to just kind of close off with just wrapping up because we had Matthew, Mark, Luke. We better not leave John out of the situation, right? Let's turn to John now. Let's go to John chapter 14. Let's make sure he gets a voice in there. But the reality is, though, the story is not in John, but there is some wonderful teaching in John. So John chapter 14, verse 25. That's why we'll jump in. Just a couple verses here. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." I want to read the next verse in a second here. "But everything you've ever heard from the Word of God, God will remind you." When you read the Word of God, at some point in your life, it will minister and speak to you. He will remind you of that. And when it says all things, when I looked that up in the Greek and the Hebrew, it means every flippin' thing ever known to humanity, ever of all time. He will teach you all things because God knows all things. I heard it put this way one time. I thought it was so funny. God never ever is up in heaven and goes, "Hey, you know what? I just thought of something." To Jesus, "Hey, you know, I just thought of something." That never happens. Because he knows all things for all time. He never has a little light bulb moment. The light bulb's already on. It's burnt. It's already blowing up. Because he knows it all. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you." It's available to us. "My peace, I don't just leave it with you, but I want to give it to you. I don't give to you as the world gives." We know what that looks like. We've tried the world stuff. It doesn't do anything. "But don't let your hearts..." Speaking to the disciples, speaking to you, and "don't let our hearts be troubled." Why is that so important? "And don't be afraid." There is nothing that's bigger than God that we could fear. You know, you think about the enemy, we think, well, let's give the devil a bit of credit here. You know what? You know the enemy lives? Under his feet. Under his feet. Because he's got authority. You know what the devil tried to do? Tried to take authority in heaven. What did God do? The old messy, right out of there, baby. Poo, gonzo. Because we have authority. God lives inside of us, so we have authority over everything as well. We do not need to be afraid of anything. So when you face whatever you're facing in our mental health, whatever facing challenges we're facing, God is bigger than that. God is bigger than what you're facing. So let's turn to him. Let's ask for his help. Let's ask for his wisdom. Let's do that together. Three-part series, mental health. Man, I learned a ton through this. I had a great time. I hope we all learned and gleaned something as well. Let's just close in a word of prayer now. So, Father, as always, when we turn to your word, as we were just reminded of it, when we open it up, it teaches us all things. And so, Father, as we heard your word, I thank you that it ministered to my heart. God, as we have such stubborn and hard hearts, I pray that you would soften our hearts so that we could hear so clearly from you. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, maybe there's a blockage in our heart and we needed some open heart surgery for you to do so that we could, the rest of our body could come into alignment. And Father, as we hear the word and it ministers to our mind that is so destructive sometimes. It's so judgmental on ourselves sometimes. We're so judgmental on others and we kind of beat ourselves up. Thank you that you can heal that. Thank you that you can renew my mind so that I have the thoughts of God in there and less of the thoughts of this world and my own thoughts in there. So thank you for doing what only you can do, God. We're asking for a miracle right now to be done in our lives. Father, we don't want to struggle anymore in mental health. We want to journey well with you. You're the wellspring that we need. We need to draw from it. You said here that you've left your peace, but we got to draw from it. God, we need a flood of peace right now. Would we drink from that well of peace so that our hearts wouldn't be troubled, so that we would not be afraid or anxious any longer? God, we can't do it without you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus on our behalf. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.